Welcome to Annunciation Radio's Faith Alive, a program that examines our culture in the light of Catholic social teachings. And here's our host, Executive Director of the Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Toledo, Rodney Schuster.
Hello and welcome to Faith Alive, the program that examines current events through the lens of Catholic social teaching. I'm your host, Rodney Schuster, Executive Director for Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Toledo. With us this week is Kevin Werner, who is the Executive Director for Ohioans to Stop Executions. Kevin has been the abbreviation is OTSE, Ohioans to Stop Execution, but he's been there since October 2007. And under his leadership, OTSE has grown by thousands of new members and supporters. Kevin is responsible for directing the staff, managing day-to-day operations and campaigns, communications and media, fundraising, board development, administrative functions, and organizational strategic planning. Kevin spent his entire career working for mission-driven organizations, advocating for policy changes in the areas of housing and homelessness, the environment, workers' rights, and capital punishment. Kevin is a graduate of Wheeling Jesuit University in Wheeling, West Virginia, where he earned a bachelor's degree in political science. Kevin and his wife reside in Columbus with their two children. Kevin, welcome to Faith Alive.
Thank you, Rodney. It's good to be with you this afternoon.
Hey, tell us a little bit about what Ohioans to Stop Executions, or as I just aforementioned, OTSE stands for. What it is that you guys do?
Sure. We're a 501c3 nonprofit education and advocacy organization. Our roots go back to the mid-80s. Really, we're formally incorporated in 1988, so we're in our 26th year. But we were really founded by a group of concerned citizens. We were founded by some faith leaders. We were founded by some interest groups and some stakeholders who were concerned about the very real possibility that Ohio was going to be executing people again after it reconstituted the death penalty in 1981. So we've existed now for 26 years, and primarily the first couple of sort of decades, if you will, the organization really was there to vigil during executions and to really try to be a voice for education and a voice for the faith communities to come together and recognize the death penalty just has no place in our society today. So that's really kind of where we started, how we got started. And, you know, I should add that the Catholic Conference of Ohio has been an instrumental voice in our organization and in our work for, you know, for all 26 of our years. So.
And in this 26 years, has there been progress? Has there been frustrations, challenges? And I know the answer is yes to all those, obviously, but can you kind of give a little timeline of some of the watershed moments that occurred these past 26 years, both good and bad, and then kind of, you know, sum up where we're at today and where we hope to go in the next 5 to 10 years?
Sure. Well, for the first, from 1981, when the law came back, from 1981 until 1994, 1995, essentially what we were seeing was just this build up of death row inmates. So we were sending a lot of people to death, but we hadn't yet begun to execute. And one really important line in the sand there was 1996. That's when the Ohio legislature adopted a standalone life without parole. So what we really started to see as of 1996, the numbers of death sentences have really dropped off significantly. So that's an important line in the sand. Another one is, I believe it was 2001, when the method of execution became just lethal injection. Up until that point, the condemned individual could choose whether they wanted to be executed by electrocution or by lethal injection. And so that became, the preferred method of choice at that point became lethal injection. Mm-hmm. Then in 2005, another important marker was when life without parole became a standalone option. So the difference between 10, 11 years earlier was you had to put the death penalty on the table before a jury could choose life without parole. But in 2005, the law was changed so that you didn't have to put the death penalty on the table in order to have a life without parole sentence. Okay. So the impact of that really just made the sentences drop off even more. And then, you know, the watershed moment, I think, for Ohio was 2007, when the American Bar Association conducted an extensive review of the way Ohio's death penalty system was running. And what they found was that Ohio failed to meet 93% of the basic guidelines to ensure fairness and accuracy in a capital system.
Wow. Did you say 93%?
Yes. 93%. So 7% of the time we were okay.
Wow.
93% of the time. So that's a huge deficit and a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
So in a response to that, the chief judge of the Ohio Supreme Court, Maureen O'Connor, announced that there was going to be a panel of experts, and those experts were going to address the 2007 report. They were going to look at it. And then they were going to also sort of look outside of that report and just see how is the death penalty system in Ohio being administered. And that was in 2011. In 2014, just this past year, the task force that examined this death penalty system for, you know, a little bit more than 2 years issued a report. And that report says lots of things, but it makes 56 recommendations to improve Ohio's death penalty system. So, you know, and that's kind of where we are today. We've got this consensus that there are big, big problems with the death penalty, and so those things have to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So things like, you know, should we continue to execute people with serious mental illness? I, for one, do not think we should.
Mm-hmm.
However, that, you know, that's a recommendation that's on the table. There's also a recommendation that's, you know, whether or not prosecutors should continue to charge these certain kinds of cases that have a very poor track record of ending up putting someone on death row. It's this felony murder specification. So That's another area where, you know, the legislature is going to have to decide if it wants to make improvements to the system or if it wants to maintain the status quo. Excuse me. I would argue that maintaining the status quo is just not an option, especially given that public opinion has really shifted on this issue.
With us this week is Kevin Werner, who's the executive director for director of Ohioans to Stop Execution. Kevin, I also heard, or I think I saw a statistic somewhere, that the percentage of people who have been executed have been wrongly executed because they found out after the fact they didn't create or commit the crime that they were given the death penalty for. Isn't there some statistics out there that are just, again, kind of mind-boggling statistics?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the most, in my mind, one of the most compelling reasons why the death penalty just doesn't belong in our society anymore, and that's because the very real risk of executing the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
There are well-documented cases that show that, you know, in one example, the forensic science that was the key to a conviction, a case of a conviction, is now been debunked. And
mm-hmm.
so how many people were convicted under some arson statute with this junk science or this forensic information that's just now known to be not correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a whole slew of cases that one could argue really, really need to be reviewed. Ohio has exonerated 6 men from death row. Those guys collectively spent something like 103 or 104 years in prison for crimes that they did not commit.
Wow.
What's telling about those numbers and sort of where the rubber meets the road today is when you look closely at why were these people wrongfully convicted, how do you go from, you know, just a regular person to sentenced to death for something that you didn't do. And there are some factors that have been identified by And the Innocence Project has been a good advocate. But there are a series of things, practices that have taken place that are really not reliable. So things like eyewitness identification, things like jailhouse informant testimony, things like, you know, are we using forensic evidence like DNA? The bottom line, though, is if the recommendations that are now being proposed to the legislature, if all of those were in place, none of those six wrongful convictions can happen, because we're raising the standard to make sure that we're not making the kinds of mistakes, like relying on the testimony of an informant who takes a deal with the prosecutors. If you tell me what this guy told you last night in the cell, then we'll take 10 years off of your sentence. Yeah. I mean, they're basically giving someone incentive to not be truthful. So wrongful conviction happens. It happens far more frequently than I think any of us like to believe. I mean, I still believe we do have, you know, the best criminal justice system in the world, but it still makes mistakes, and that's just something that we can't tolerate. I've gotten to know some of the guys who have been exonerated from Ohio's death row over the years, and I mean, folks in the area listening would have opportunities to hear them speak in the next couple of days, and I would urge them to do that, but. You know, 22 years on death row for a crime, you know, that wasn't committed. 20 years. Wow. I mean, these are decades of life that just cannot be, you know, can't be given back. Right. Fortunately, they were proven to be innocent before they were executed. But, you know, one guy, Joe D'Ambrosio, says, you know, had it not been for a Catholic priest who happened to have a law degree and also to be a critical care nurse who took an interest in my case, then I would have been executed 10 years ago and the state would not have even batted an eye. Wow. So, you know, the death penalty and the just, you know, that we assume that everyone who is on death row is guilty is just not accurate.
Right. With us this week is Kevin Werner, who is the executive director for Ohioans to Stop Execution. Kevin, we're going to head to break here in about 30 seconds, but where can people find out more information? Of course, we'll repeat it after the break about Ohioans to Stop Executions.
Yeah, we are online. Our website is www.otse.org, and there's just a wealth of information there about us and about the issues.
Okay, great. We're going to head to break. You're listening to Faith Alive. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Faith Alive. If you have a topic you would like to hear discussed regarding the social teaching of the Catholic Church, please call 419-754-1009. Our program will be right back here on Annunciation Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Faith Alive. I'm Rodney Schuster, and with us this week is Kevin Werner, who's the Executive Director of Ohioans to Stop Executions, which is a nonprofit education and advocacy organization with a mission to end the use of the death penalty in the state of Ohio. Kevin, you know, we talked a little bit about beforehand, you know, about some of the watershed moments that have happened. How much of an impact did the movie, you know, Dead Man Walking, did that kind of start the ball rolling, if you will? Or has it just been, I mean, the quite honestly, the horrible tragedies of these executions of late that have just been, you know, just so horrific?
Yeah. Well, I think that Sister Helen Prejean's ministry and her personal experience, I think it really has made a huge difference in the way that people, particularly I'd say Catholic audiences, although not exclusively, how those folks think about the issue of the death penalty. I think really what she's done and what her movie and her experience has done is it sort of awakened people to this idea that even life that is not innocent, there still has dignity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that before that kind of a prominent a movie can draw attention to an issue, I think people just sort of viewed the victims as always wanting the death penalty, as always sort of needing it. And really what Sister Helen's work and what Dead Man Walking has done was it showed that they're suffering on both sides. Yeah. There's suffering of the family of the condemned person, and there's also suffering on the side of the family who's grieving and who's lost, you know, their loved one. So I think that Sister Helen really helped people to think about this issue and to look at it from the perspective of what do the victims' families need? Mm-hmm. You know, they need our prayers. They need our support. They don't necessarily need to be taken back into court, you know, every 6 months for, you know, 20 years.
Right.
And so I do think that has been a way for people to really awaken. I also think that, you know, people are not comfortable with death. Mm-hmm. To begin with. And I think that the way that these botched executions have happened, and because we all understand now that part of the reason that these things are happening is because departments of corrections, and Ohio falls squarely into this camp, are experimenting with drugs whose medical purpose was designed to save life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a misuse on the part of executioners, you know, using these drugs for things they are not intended for. And so, you know, these human experimentations that are playing out and that are going horrifically wrong, you know, I think that should give everyone pause.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everyone agrees that, you know, whether you support the death penalty or not, it has to be a system. As long as we have it, it has to be fair. It has to get the right person, and it can't result to torturing someone to death.
With us this week is Kevin Werner, who's the executive director of Ohioans to Stop Execution. Now, Kevin, isn't there been some legislation proposed in the state of Ohio addressing this issue of execution?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, within the last week, the attorney general announced that that he, you know, I guess was working with the prosecutors, and they're going to put forth a bill that essentially makes it a state secret, excuse me, as to where the state is getting the drugs, maybe which drugs are being used, who's manufacturing them, and the other sort of twist is that there's a clause that is suggesting that doctors who participate, pharmacists who participate, nurses who participate, will be exempted from any kind of professional sanction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, medical professionals are, you know, they swear an oath, and that oath is that they will do no harm. And so what the attorney general and the prosecutors are essentially proposing is to don't worry about your ethics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll tell you what your ethics are, and your ethics right now are to follow, you know, follow this proposed legislation. So they're subverting the ethics that the doctors swear to uphold, and that nurses swear to uphold, and the pharmacists swear to uphold, so that they can get their hands on these drugs that are in short supply because the manufacturers are refusing to give them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know what they're being used for. So the answer to the problem of finding drugs for carrying out executions in Ohio is, well, let's just make it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I guess the problems magically go away. What actually has happened in states that have gone before Ohio and done this, those moves by the legislatures have really just led to more litigation, more delays, more lawsuits, not fewer.
Right.
So it's questionable why would this move be proposed. I can tell you, I could speculate that Ohio is doing it because a handful of other states have tried it.
Okay.
And that's just a pattern that we've seen. When one state changes the drug and it works okay, or it seems to not produce, you know, a sort of a horror show, then another state will try it, and then another one, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've got a handful of states that are all kind of following the lead of one another, and that's squarely where Ohio is.
Do you think there's an openness to reconsidering repealing the death penalty at all in Ohio? Is it a few? Is it some? I know the Ohio Catholic Conference has been involved with this as well, but what are you hearing?
Well, I think that my sense is that the legislature needs to have that conversation with itself.
Okay.
Because, you know, on the one hand, all of these changes that are being proposed, not by the prosecutors, not by the attorney general, but these improvements, these ways to make the system better,
mm-hmm.
I think what we'll find is that at the end of the day, Ohio will try to make improvements to its system as it should. And in 5 or 10 years from now, it's going to find that it's impossible
mm-hmm.
to make it the system that it needs. It's impossible to be perfect. It's impossible to be free of error. And it's just not worth it. I mean, when we talk about the enormous costs that are coming out of county budgets and out of state budgets, it's I liken it to repeating the same action again and again and again, expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that, you know, public opinion has changed. I think that the death penalty days in the country are limited.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of, is Ohio going to be one of those states that sort of drags its feet? Or is it going to be one of the states that recognizes it's not a workable system? There's a better alternative that costs a lot less, that allows for closure, and that allows for healing, that allows for really some restorative justice to happen, and that's, you know, life without parole. So I do think that we will get there ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question, though, of how long our legislators going to try to tinker and tinker and tinker.
Right.
Sooner or later, they're going to realize that it's just not workable. And you know, given the flaws and given the bias, whether it's race or geography or the devastating impact that the system has on murder victims' families, who are really a voice that are often overlooked in these conversations, they'll just realize that it's just not worth it.
Now, you have an event coming up called The Voices of Experience, The Death Penalty, at Lourdes University on October 16th. Tell us a little bit about that, Kevin.
Yeah, so, the task force that recommended these 56 changes, we sort of felt it was important for the task force to be able to explain, what the findings were and what the rationale was, and so we've invited members of the actual task force to join us, and I believe on that day, Judge John Russo, who is a Cuyahoga County Common Pleas judge, he'll be joining the panel, but also there will be Derek Jameson. Derek spent 20 years on Ohio's death row for a crime that he didn't commit. There will be Charles Keith. Charles sees this from both sides. He has a brother who was on death row, who was commuted. He's also the brother of a murder victim. Terry Collins was the director of the Department of Correction. Under Terry's sort of job duties, he was responsible for overseeing, I think, 33 executions in Ohio. He will be there. So the idea is to bring people who have lived experience with the issue of the death penalty and to gather them in one place and to provide ways for audiences to ask them questions.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get closer to the death penalty system, I don't think, than with that group of people. So they'll be able to share what their experiences were, sort of tell you how it really is and why some improvements need to be made. And then, of course, there'll be time for questions and answer and all that informative stuff as well.
And just to repeat, that is on October 16th. It's from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. It will be at the Franciscan Center of Lourdes University, which is in Sylvania. And if you want to find out more information, go to www.otse.org. That's www.otse.org. Very important. And Kevin, just, you know, being that we're Annunciation Radio and it's a Catholic radio station, just share how it's been for you to work with, you know, the Catholic Conference of Bishops in the state of Ohio and just other Catholic, either lay people or clergy. And what is that, you know, how has that experience been for you?
Yeah. Well, it's been it's been wonderful for me, you know, as a practicing Catholic and as someone who, you know, Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, Catholic college. It's wonderful for me to be able to know that, you know, my faith tradition is really on the leading edge of making the death penalty a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. And it's reassuring to know that, you know, we take life issues, you know, they're all treated equally. They're all the same. And so the dignity of life does not depend on, well, just when it's innocent life or, well, when maybe this circumstance exists. It's really been a source of strength. And so I couldn't be happier that that the Catholic Conference and that the Catholic churches and the you know, the bishops have been just clear, crystal clear, that this is not something that Ohio needs to continue. This is something that we should all work together, and we should reach across to our other faith leaders, whether they be Methodist, Episcopal Church. You know, we're working closely with some rabbis across the state, because it's the entire faith community that has to say with one voice, this is not who we are, this is not what we do, and the Catholic Church has been at the leading edge of that, and I couldn't be prouder.
Right, and I think that's just, once again, the Catholic Church always standing up for the dignity of life and respect of life, whether it be in the womb or before we get to the tomb, and thank God for our faith and 200 years of tradition. Kevin, one more time, where can people find out more information about OTSI?
Yes, it's www.otse.org.
Awesome. And once again, the event is on October 16th from 7 to 9 at Lourdes University in Sylvania. And you heard the website, otse.org. Kevin, thanks so much for being with us, and continued
Great.
Success and continued blessings on your efforts.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. You've been listening to Faith Alive. Until next week, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Faith Alive with your host, Rodney Schuster. Tune in again next week for another discussion regarding the social teaching of the Catholic Church here on Annunciation Radio, Faith with Frequency.